firstly, I just wondered about if your mother tried to keep the notion of Gibraltar alive with you. I mean, were you aware of Gibraltar always in the background while you were here in Neasden and going up to Wales, etc.?
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, although my mother was English, she'd lived something like 20-odd years at that stage in Gibraltar. And so, you know, to us, we were Gibraltarians and we were virtually foreigners in England. Then we were made aware of that by the people around us.
In what way? I mean, were they sort of what we term racist now?
Very much so, yes. The thing was, obviously, because we were able to speak Spanish, and there was always, because of the war, any foreigners were suspect in England at that stage. And it was very, very evident, especially when we were up in Neston, the antipathy there was against foreigners.
I think, sorry, I'm leaving a little gap after you finish, not because I'm just so that it's easier for me to, I need to edit. But I think that's it. I mean, you know, not, it's not surprising because England was like that in those days. But it's interesting because there must have been an awful lot of people. There were so many people towards the end of the war wandering about. I mean, you think people would have got used to having. I mean, you said you went into a Polish camp, so they'd already had Polish people.
Yes, but I think what one ought to realise is that children don't think like adults, and even the children have got a nasty streak at the best of times, and I think that's probably why it affected us more, because the children were in that way inclined.
So how old were you by this point, in 19?
Well, I returned to Gibraltar when I was 12.
Yeah, so you were at classic age to be in a sort of boys' gang.
That's right.
Yeah, very interesting. And you say that you got... we'll just wait for the chime to go.
Oh, yes, it keeps coming on. Sorry, I should have turned it off.
No, don't worry. We've had it in the background quite a bit. But it depends which bit we're on, really.
I think one of the...
I'm still recording, but I'm just... Yeah. Say, go on.
No, I was saying that the interesting parts is what happens after when we got back. That was... that's quite interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm very keen. I'm going to get on to that. We've just got a couple of other things I wanted to say. I just wanted to say that, you know, when... obviously, comparing it, you had a very different experience to your wife, but she was sort of in a Gibraltarian community all the time. In fact, much more so than she wasn't. Didn't even meet that many English people. I mean, what was it like for you as a sort of 11-year-old suddenly being with all these Gibraltarians again?
Well, it was like being back home. I mean, we were back into a normal life. We were among our people that we knew, families we knew. So it really wasn't a problem at all. It was just like... obviously, young children are very flexible and they soon acclimatise to whatever situation is presented to them.
And you were speaking Spanish again?
Of course, yes.
So, and the last thing I wanted to ask you about your story was that when you were stuck in Glasgow on the boat or just off the coast, I mean, did the conditions start to deteriorate already in the boat? Do you remember that?
No, the conditions on the Stirling Castle weren't bad at all. It was just a normal liner, obviously under more conditions, but food was plentiful, water was available, not like on the other one where we were short of water. In fact, we were washing seawater. But on the Stirling Castle, it wasn't all that bad at all. It was just a matter that, you know, with 1,500 women and children on board a ship for 14 days, it got a bit hectic, but no, it wasn't bad.
I mean, as I said, there was so much movement of people at that point in Europe and in the Channel and everywhere else. I mean, why do you think, I don't quite understand why the British, this is just not a fact, but just your opinion really, of why the British government decided to send everybody back. You know, the war was still going on. It was quite dangerous to send all those people back.
Yep, I think that the situation was now that the British or the Allies had forced the Germans well away from the coast, So there wasn't all that much danger. It was only the U-boats that we had to worry about. And obviously we went right round the outside of Ireland, down through the centre of the Atlantic. And although we had a couple of scares on the route, it was relatively safe, I would think. But they seemed to think so anyway.
And also, just to comment about Lillian's experience, that they evacuated children from central London and then brought a whole lot more in, if you like. You know, because her and her all her contemporaries were in Kensington, weren't they? And they were little children. Well, little English children were evacuated from London. So that's rather peculiar too.
Yes, well, I mean, it's a matter that, as I think I said earlier, we were not removed from Gibraltar for our benefit. They were moved from Gibraltar for the benefit of the military, because I've actually seen documentation in the archives where the governor was talking about the fact that they couldn't feed the civilian population and the military population, so the civilian population should be moved. And that was the philosophy at the time. So we were moved for the benefit of the military, not for the benefit of the Gibraltarians.
And so you get back to Gibraltar. Can you remember any of the scenes when you returned where people must have been so happy to return?
Oh, yes. I mean, it was... everybody was shouting and screaming. And obviously, I hadn't seen my father for 4 years. I saw him for a month in the 4 years that we were in England. He was brought to England for a month to leave. Most fathers were. And then he went back. So I saw my father once in 4 years. So obviously, it was tremendous to get back. The scenes on the dockside, incredible.
Did people get off the boat and sort of kiss the ground and things?
No, not really.
Maybe that's just a dramatic 20th, thing to do.
We were really concentrated on meeting our parents more than anything else. And then we had military trucks on the wharf to take us to a central point. And then we went off home. And but what people need to realise is that there was no civilian structure in Gibraltar after the war. There were no nurses. There were no teachers. The only teachers we had were those that we brought with us back from England. In fact, my teacher was a military from the Army Education Corps. He had, in fact, in the end, married a Gibraltarian and stayed in Gibraltar. But we had to virtually start from scratch again.
That's just so extraordinary. I mean, I was about to say that, you know, how much Gibraltar had changed, mm-hmm. you know, post-war and pre-war, really.
Yeah, well, it completely changed. I mean, the civilians' structure had disappeared, apart from what had remained because of the men that had stayed there. But as I say, there were no local nurses, there were no local teachers, other than the ones that we brought with us.
So had the schools just been, the military just taken over then?
Yes, they'd just taken over. And in fact, many of the houses had been taken over by the military and were rendered uninhabitable. But there was no compensation ever offered to the local people for the losses of the in their houses. Mind you, the majority of houses in those days were rented from the government anyway, but the contents were completely disappeared. You know, the soldiers just took what they wanted and that was it.
Yes, I mean, so there wasn't much respect for anyone because people left without very much, didn't they?
Well, they couldn't carry anything. I mean, all we had was that we were limited to how much stuff we could take with us. I can't remember what it was. But it was certainly limited.
I mean, because it's interesting that because there wasn't, you know, they weren't actually fighting in Gibraltar, so it wasn't as if the houses had been bombed or, you know, it was just exercises.
Well, there were two or three raids by the Italians, but minimal damage was caused. But fighting as such, no.
So the damage was caused by the British soldiers.
Yes.
Just living there.
They were either that, or they would break into houses and not been that had been abandoned, and just take what they wanted, and that was it.
Do you think that there was a lot of sort of boredom for them during the war, because there weren't any. I mean, I know that stories of women coming over from Spain, actually, but there wasn't that much to do, was there?
Well, they had a lot of entertainment in the army. I mean, I have, as a historian, I've been studying quite a lot of this business. I had the, they had the YMCA, they had the garrison library for the officers. There were concerts going on all the time. There's plenty of entertainment, but there definitely was a lot of boredom. And also, I mean, we must also understand that not all the damage was done by the English. There were also a lot of Spaniards coming over, and we don't know how much of it was done by them.
What about the... I'm talking to you now, we're veering off a little bit from your personal experience, but it's just interesting, since you are a historian, to have you here, so I can ask you. I was also interested in Gibraltar. Obviously, it was a very significantly placed for during the war. It's just this position geographically is what I mean. I mean, what about the sort of idea that there was a lot of sort of espionage going on there? Do you think that's true?
That's true, yes. There were quite a number of incidents. There was the sabotage on the Calling Island, where they blew up one of the drum stores. There were a couple of spies caught and executed in Gibraltar. Most of the spies were actually in Spain, over in Algeciras, and observing ships coming and going in Gibraltar. There's quite a number of interesting stories of that going on. And then, of course, there were the two-man submarines that were based in Algeciras on a ship that was interned, an Italian ship that was interned, but it had actually been turned into a two-man submarine base, and the ship was called the Alterra, and the two-man submarines used to come out from the base of the ship and sail across to the bay and put limpet mines on the ships that were anchored in the bay, and this is where the famous story of Commander Crabb started, and the British Underwater Service, who used to check all the ships before they left the harbour. That was very, very interesting. And also, of course, Gibraltar was very important during the Operation Torch, which was the landing in North Africa. The latest magazine, there's a complete story about the Gibraltar during Operation Torch, which shows the airport looking like a beehive, with a number of aircraft sitting on the deck. You couldn't move for aeroplanes.